On my side, the start, Smokey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
That is amazing. All right, we've got Zaki. Is it Zaki or Zaki? How should I say that, sir?
Zaki.
Zaki. Gotcha. Gotcha.
This is a pronunciation that my parents made up, so, you know, I don't expect anyone else to know it.
Well, I appreciate the leniency then. In that case, we'll get started here in just a few minutes, everyone. Going to wait for all of our esteemed panelists to arrive to discuss this very, very exciting news about unions integration with the ag layer and talk about how that can affect change or how it just, you know, makes the Polygon and Cosmos ecosystem maybe a little bit closer together. What does that look like from an architectural standpoint? We got a lot of very exciting topics of conversation here. So just sit back, relax, and we'll get started in just a few moments. I guess we'll do some mic checks on our side as well. Nick, let's do a mic check with you, please, sir.
Mic check.
Amazing, amazing. And then Carol, if we could do a mic check on you, please.
Yeah, mic check. Can everyone hear me?
Oh my gosh, it sounds amazing. And then Paul, last but not least.
I take offense to you calling me esteemed, just so you know.
Well, if you have another adjective you would prefer me to use, I'm willing to make those types of changes here.
Can't think of any good adjectives for me, but it works. Good. Well,
okay, perfect, perfect. Mark is unable to join today, but we have Paul, who is our director of product research at Polygon Labs, who works very closely with AgLayer and has been working with this collaboration as well. So we'll give it probably about 30 more seconds for people to join. If you're listening right now, please give this a little bit of a retweet. Give us a little GM in the comments if you GM. And just help us get the message out. This is a very exciting announcement, a very exciting panel, and we just want people to know about it, guys. So just do it. Amplify this. And we'll get started in about 30 seconds or so. So sit tight. All right. I think it's about time to get started. So I'll get started with the intros, and then we'll just kind of go into the questions and talk about everything that's going on. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Polygon Alpha, where we source questions from the Polygon community to gain insights from today's leaders in DeFi, Web3, and crypto. I'm your host, Justin Havens, aka Crypto Texan. And on today's show, we've got a very exciting panel discussion around some big announcement that came out about 2 weeks ago, and that is that Union is integrating with the ag layer. We'll get into what Union is, what the integration with the ag layer looks like. And we've got some great speakers on the panel to touch on this. Carol, who's the CEO of Union Labs. We've got Paul, who is the director of research at Polygon Labs. We've got Nick, who's the COO of Celestia. And then we've got the co-founder of Somalier, and just all around OG in the Cosmos and Polygon ecosystem, Zaki. So thanks to all of you for being here today. I think it would be a good idea for us to just kind of go through everyone's backgrounds of the speakers, just very quickly touch on like what your role is and your background. And so let's start with Carol, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thanks for the intro. Happy to be here. I'm Karel, founder of Union, official title now CEO, but I'm a developer by background. Have been in the Cosmos, Polkadot, and Ethereum space for many years now, but into crypto back in 2015, and consider myself primarily a builder. I'm a massive believer in the horizontally scaled future, thousands of blockchains and almost any comprehensive app on its own state machine. And I truly believe that the final unlock that's necessary for this future is the infrastructure and the interop layer. If we lose composability and coherence, UX is going to go down the drain. And so we're here all working together on kind of the final pieces of the puzzle to make this future come true.
I absolutely agree with you. These are the final pieces of the puzzle to make everything work in the way of what we've been dreaming of for these past 8, 9 years, however long we've all been in the space, respectively. Paul, let's kick it over to you. What does the director of product research do? What's your background?
What do I do? Okay, so my background is I'm an engineer. I was a software engineer forever. Worked at Augur on Augur V1 and V2. Worked at Flashbots, kind of as Flashbots was coming into production. Also worked on Flow as like a blockchain research role, and then also here. I spend most of my days trying to figure out exactly how we make these ideas real. So I spend a lot of time working with the engineering teams, specifically right now on the egg layer, on all the ZK prover tech, and trying to architect the sort of like final solutions of how these things come together. I'm very much in agreement with Karel here. I think that the path that we're going down is one where we end up with a large amount of sovereign ecosystems that all need to connect. And these ecosystems could look very much like we have today, but could also look very different. And I would like to unlock the ability for people to actually explore what those look like for their community, for their application, for their use case. So that's my goal here. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. Let's kick it over to Celestia. Mr. White, Nick White, a little bit of your background and, you know, what is Celestia?
Sure. Hey, guys, I'm Nick. As you mentioned, I'm the COO at Celestia Labs. And Celestia is the first modular blockchain network. And specifically, Celestia is a modular data availability layer. So the problem that Celestia solves is that, you know, to scale Web3 to millions and billions of people in the future, we're going to need a lot of block space. And so Celestia is specialized in building very secure, trust minimized block space at scale. And you can think of it as like an L1 that's designed for rollups. So it makes it very easy and cheap for someone to spin up a secure and decentralized rollup or blockchain. And I think what I'm excited about this space is that this modular future that Celestia wants to build with a lot of the people here, you know, will lead to or requires a lot of other pieces of infrastructure to make it viable. And one of them is very much aggregation and interoperability. So I'm very keen to dive into these topics because they're going to be critical to realizing this broader modular vision that I'm and Celestia as a project is so passionate about.
All right. Thanks for that as well. Zuki, it looks like we lost you here on the stage, but if you want to request to speak, I'll add you back up here and then we can kind of get your background and kind of see how everything fits in from that perspective as well. So yeah, like I said, thank you everyone for your background. We're here to talk about this very exciting and unique integration with Union and the ag layer. What does that mean for the Cosmos ecosystem? What does it mean for Union? And what does it mean for the Polygon community and all the blockchains that are connecting to the ag layer on the Polygon side of things as well? So I'll start my questions directed at Union to start. But if anyone else has anything that they want to say or just add into, please, by all means, do so. But Karel, on the Union side, like, can you explain, in your opinion, like the strategic importance of connecting these two ecosystems, Cosmos and, you know, Polygon/Ethereum, and how this Union Lab integration with the ag layer helps to facilitate this?
Yeah, of course. So first of all, I think that there's a very important philosophical reason for doing this. Cosmos is obviously kind of the home of sovereign ecosystems, right? It's a widely used SDK and tech stack. Many chains affiliate themselves with Cosmos, but there's many more ecosystems out there that are built upon the Cosmos stack. Many people might not be aware, but right now, most AVSs being deployed on Eigenlayer are Cosmos chains, right? And so it, the Tendermint stack, and just overall the whole ecosystem, is right now probably like the most production-ready ecosystem for sovereign builders building their own app stack. But sovereign ecosystems can't survive in isolation, right? There's no good integrations for the end users this way. You want abundant access to liquidity. And in the end, even though like we're doing sovereign ecosystems because it's much better for the end user, like more revenue flows back in the token, the UX is much better, fees are much lower, it's just a tool. In the end, like we all want to build apps that provide a coherent experience to the end user. And that means that we can't just disregard users that are on Ethereum or on Polygon, right? We want basically to just enable app builders to choose whatever, build whatever, with whatever stack they want. And so unifying these ecosystems is kind of the first step to removing a lot of tribalism from crypto, right? And instead of people affiliating their product with this is like Polygon's version or Solana's version, we just start loving the products themselves, right? And the products just directly integrate with each other. On top of that, like to make these integrations seamless, we really need to think about making everything fungible. And fungible at its core means that the security assumptions over the assets are the same, right? If some asset has an insecure backing, we cannot treat it as the same fungible asset in a DEX, and we need to fragment it. And I feel, as a user myself, that probably fragmentation is the thing that annoys me the most. So with the Eigenlayer and IBC integrating with each other, we're unifying these security assumptions, meaning that now to the end user, we might head into a future where they won't even know that assets are being transferred between sovereign Cosmos chains and Polygon CDK rollups. Might just seem to them that they're going from one DApp to another DApp. And within a couple of seconds, the funds arrive. They're the same assets. They're not specifically marked. Like that's the end goal and the importance that we're trying to achieve here. From an engineering perspective, what this means is integrating the asset systems, looking at how IBC can interplay with the Eigenlayer, making sure that we abide by those higher security standards, and really like set up the foundation for, to be honest, like the overall interoperability standard across all of crypto.
Yeah. And Paul, I'm wondering if maybe you can touch on that a little bit too, and just maybe discuss the Eigenlayer's role in like, maybe it's like Polygon Labs broader strategy and like maybe its impact on just blockchain scalability, interoperability, and how it fits in with this development with Union and IBC.
Yeah. Yeah. So to start, I would say that the goal for Polygon forever now for the last 4 years has been to scale Ethereum. And when you look at scaling Ethereum, you know, that started with the Polygon POS chain. Why? Because that was an EVM compatible environment that people could use. You know, before that, the goal of Polygon or of, you know, Matic back in the day was building a Plasma chain. And now with this combination of CDK and the Eigenlayers, CDKs and the Eigenlayer, the question is, well, what does it exactly mean to scale Ethereum? And I would posit that scaling Ethereum means not just paying attention to EVM and EVM compatible chains, but to have a way that this broader ecosystem of applications that communicate with and run on top of blockchains can access the information that they need and that users can use them in a coherent way. And so what the Eigenlayer really is it's this strategy or it's this goal of bringing together like disparate execution environments and disparate ways of interacting with blockchains such that the UX that applications want to provide exists and is easy and is understandable to users. Again, our goal to scale Ethereum also means scaling all of these other ecosystems because they all have a component and a part to play in this, whether that be a Cosmos or whether that be like a Tendermint chain that's running as an AVS or whether that be Celestia, which, you know, these are built very differently. They actually all still need to communicate in some way in order to provide a coherent user experience. That's our goal here.
I really love, Paul, how you kind of like define scaling Ethereum. To me, Ethereum really like is the world computer, right? It's about like decentralization, any app. At least for me, I've come to the realization of the last few years that a single like global world computer that's synchronous is kind of dystopian and not censorship resistant. So at least for us, and I guess for you guys as well, really the vision then becomes like scaling out the asynchronous global world computer, right?
Yeah. Yep. And I will say allowing, while also allowing ecosystems to communicate synchronously if they want to. One of the problems with all of this design space is that because it's so large and so complicated, without some of the tools that have recently been developed and productionized with like the ZK tech and things that we're able to do now, actually hitting those goals is very difficult. But we're now in a position where the technology is getting mature enough that the dreams that we had in the past when I was sitting in the middle of nowhere in 2017 reading about, you know, ZK snarks are now something that is actually possible. And I think that's the like the core thing that changed that allowed us to get here.
Wow, that's, I love the back and forth there. I love the vision. I feel like we all do have this shared vision, right? Like we're all striving towards the same thing. We're just kind of going about it in different ways at the moment. But it's kind of interesting to see, you know, once we do have projects like starting to work a little bit more closer together to solve these types of issues, how much more aligned we actually really are outside of this tribalistic crypto Twitter atmosphere that we have. I want to kick it over to Nick from Celestia. I wonder just if you had any comments on what Paul and Carol were saying. Also, just want to, you know, how do you see Celestia's role in the in this development, and how does it benefit from the integration with the ag layer and Union? And then also, Carol said something really interesting that I think, like, I've kind of noticed this, but I haven't really put it to words, is that, you know, why do you think that the majority of like AVSs that are leveraging EigenLayer are from the Cosmos ecosystem? So I just asked you a lot of questions, Nick. I'm sorry, but I can repeat them if you need to.
That's a good, the last one's a good question. Maybe I'll get to it. I'm not sure. But my overall comment is, The vision that Celestia started with was we wanted to make it as easy to deploy a new chain as it is to deploy a smart contract. And kind of, you know, to Carol's point and this idea of like scaling the vision of Ethereum, right? The beauty of Ethereum was, as opposed to Bitcoin, you could deploy a new application as a smart contract rather than having to spin up a new chain. But unfortunately, the drawback of having this universal world computer, a synchronous like global state machine, is basically that it has scaling issues. It has like, you know, issues with sovereignty, and there's just a lot of like problems, like state bloat, and all these like problems that kind of come along with that model of building Web3. And so Celestia is sort of a synthesis of sort of like, how can we have the best of both worlds, where you could deploy an application very easily, but it doesn't have to be as a smart contract and actually be its own chain. And so, you know, there's aspects of making that vision a reality where, you know, okay, you're going to need a secure sort of base layer providing all this cheap block space, which is Celestia. You're going to need really robust roll-up frameworks and like surrounding infrastructure. But there's also a part of it that is, you know, when you deploy a smart contract on Ethereum, the good thing about being part of a, you know, global atomic state machine is that you have immediate access to all the other applications and assets and users and accounts and things on that chain out of the box for free. And the problem with this modular approach is that when you start, you know, turning applications into their own chains, that base layer kind of like fragments, and you don't get that for free. And so I think of the sort of ag layer and the things that Union and Polygon are working on as sort of like bringing back, allowing us to sort of have that same sort of like developer experience and user experience of deploying a smart contract, but in the multi-chain world where it's like, you know, out of the box, you can just plug into all the other apps and accounts and assets that already exist in a secure and trust minimized way. So yeah, I guess like this vision of, you know, making the multi-chain world feel unified, but also preserving the scaling properties and the sovereignty and all the good things of a multi-chain world is sort of where that the nexus of the two problems is where like the ag layer really like comes in to the rescue.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you obviously see Celestia's modular approach to blockchains as a way to enhance the capabilities of the ag layer and like Polygon CDK chains as well. Correct.
Yeah. So one thing to note is, so, you know, when you think about composability or interoperability between applications in crypto, you know, a lot of people will talk about atomic composability, right? And, you know, the Solana sort of like, and the monolithic chain ecosystems tend to really put emphasis on the idea of like everything needs to be atomically composable. I think that actually what's more important than atomic composability is actually trust minimized composability. So the ability for applications to interoperate in a way that does not necessitate making new trust assumptions on like within those applications. And so ultimately, and like and like being asynchronous, especially once we have, you know, really good cross-chain interop that's like has faster finality and all that, like through what the ag layer is doing, then like asynchronous composability becomes feels more and more like atomic composability. And then it's going to be about how do we make it trust minimized. And ultimately, the only way to have trust minimized interop between two different chains is for them to share a common data availability layer. And so I think that there's going to be a need in this multi-chain world for like these shared DA layers that can that these rollups can plug into to have this privileged trust minimized ability to connect to these other chains and assets. And ultimately, the reason why that's so important is like that's what, you know, crypto is all about minimizing trust and you know, enabling a world where things are verifiable. And like when you start to, if in order to interoperate between chains, you need to start adding more and more trust assumptions, you're kind of compromising the original value proposition of blockchains and Web3 broadly. And second of all, you're going to have these constraints on what, like sort of the economic bandwidth, or even like the richness of the kind of interoperability you can do when there are trust assumptions. If it's only economic security that is sort of standing in the way of these bridges being compromised, then you can, it sort of rate limits the amount of economic bandwidth that can be running through those rails. And it can also mean that like more complex, sort of like rich, stateful interop basically does not actually, or like just generalized message passing, I guess, is not actually viable in an interoperability model that's only based on economic security. So that's why like trust minimized, like verifiable interoperability is so important.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially on the, like, I come mainly from the DeFi side of things, and, you know, composability is such like an important aspect that, you know, that I feel like needs to be maintained when we are having like all of this cross chain interop. And I'm, you know, that's what I love about, you know, the ag layer personally, is that it does have like this bridge and call function that does allow for like composability between DeFi applications on different blockchains. And I think it just kind of unlocks a whole different world. And but like, yeah, what does the future look like beyond that? And I think that trust minimized composability that you're talking about is really interesting. I haven't really quite thought about it like that yet. So thanks for sharing. We do have Zookie back. You're on the stage.
I made it. So I wandered through the desert and eventually I returned.
Absolutely. So Zuki is a co-founder of Somalier Finance, which does, you know, like risk manage yield bearing vaults. So DeFi side of things, but also just like in general, a Cosmos and Polygon OG.
Maybe so, a little bit about like, I guess you could talk a little bit about like, so Somalier was the first synthesis of a Cosmos and Ethereum app that existed, as far as I'm aware. So Somalier uses a Cosmos chain as like a kind of proto AVS from 2021. And I think in the future, we are likely to become an AVS. We're exploring that with our friends at Ethos. But like, so, you know, we were building this, we built this validator set, and we built, used the Cosmos SDK to coordinate the validator set. And then we actually execute DeFi transactions on Cosmos and Arbitrum and Optimism and soon to be many other chains. And we do that using Axor as our primary interoperability, like IBC and Axor connected together. And so I think Somalier is a great example of like what you can build in a composable world, in a multi-chain composable world. Like we sort of prototyped all of these ideas about, you know, building a validator set, using it to drive a co-processor for Ethereum, you know, having hybrid on-chain smart contract language and language that lives in the app chain. So, you know, I think the entire, like, I guess the, to me, like the point of, you know, building these like ag layer type constructs is that in the, you know, applications like Somalier have like basically superpowers for their users. It's, you know, yield that you can, you know, put money in. It's like a source of yield that you can put money into and forget about it, and it can't rug. And like myself and my co-founder Christy, we sort of pioneered all of these notions. And now the infrastructure to make it much easier to build this is sort of coming together. So that's really exciting. And one of the reasons why I think the ag layer is like a really great primitive. Also, it's really nice to see the vision of, you know, so like right, like back in the olden days, you know, the Interchain, I helped the Interchain Foundation actually fund a lot of the, you know, some of the initial zero knowledge research. I've been part of Zcash for a long time. And like part of it is that like, cryptography is the universal interoperability layer. And, you know, I've been involved in a lot of foundational research for that, but like the Polygon team, the Union team, Celestia team have all like worked in, done like an incredible amount of work, like bringing that idea, to like the fore, that like the way you can build a network of world computers that like is secure and interoperable, yet like dynamic and constantly evolving, is through zero, like cryptography as the universal interoperability layer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love having you up here as like a case study of like how all of this like actually it can work and come together. But and I think my next question, I'm gonna kick it back over to Union. Carol, you know, we're talking about how Union is like creating this connection between IBC and Polygon through the ag layer. I just want to know like maybe some of like the technical challenges, or like how does it all work? Like how does this message passing work, and why do you feel like it's so important?
Yeah, so there's definitely like a couple of what I would describe as engineering challenges, not fundamental challenges, but just a lot of elbow grease that's required. And that's related to how storage slots work on different chains, right? And making sure that it all fits together and making sure that the different encoding schemes work. Union's initial product actually was IBC to Ethereum. And then you realize that you cannot actually port over protobufs to Ethereum, because if you do decoding of that in Solidity and pay gas for that, the product just doesn't work. It's way too expensive and gas inefficient to actually run. Then there's the more fundamental stuff behind this. Cosmos is actually like very well designed and very sovereign. Now, IBC especially. It's around consensus verification, tracking the state of a chain, storage proofs, and transmitting those over to another chain to track them in a live client. I think with the egg layer, it's even extended more. Like you're looking at execution proofs as well and tracking those. And so there are challenges here with basically upgrading the Cosmos stack, right? Like looking at like what's necessary to bring it in line, to bring it forward, as well as how do we like make sure that we stay on the cutting edge of cryptography there. On top of that, for me at least, I think it's especially important to kind of acknowledge that the Polygon ecosystem and the Cosmos ecosystem are different in the sense of the tools that the builders are used to, the tech stacks that they use. And so finally, like when you do this integration and turn this into a product, you have to make sure that both sides enjoy using it, right? And are excited by it. Finally, Nick, I want to like kind of tie back into what you were saying about the need for trust minimized interoperability. I actually think that besides it being required for Web3, right? And for why we're actually doing decentralization, there's also actually a very much like urgent need for it right now. At the moment, if you look at bridging, it's almost as if Ethereum would have permission smart contracts, right? You need to cooperate with the bridge protocols themselves. You need to request for support. The committee that operates the protocol needs to build out support. And so it's a very much trusted in-person Web2 process for doing that integration, which fundamentally puts a scaling cap on how many sovereign chains and rollups we can create. If Ethereum had permission smart contracts, we would have 80 smart contracts on Ethereum right now. And there wouldn't be a vibrant ecosystem right now. And I think the same is for the modular stack, essentially. Like if we don't get interoperability secure and permissionless, then we're never going to see this future where every single app becomes its own rollup. And then the total addressable market is maybe 100 general purpose VM rollups instead of those 10,000 app specific rollups. And so I actually like, think like besides the philosophical point, there's like an urgent need to do this right now. And IBC, of course, like kind of set the foundation for this, right? The first innovation to support systems like this occurred there. And now we're seeing with the egg layer, really the same philosophy coalescing.
By the way, Carl, I like deeply agree with you here. I actually think the problem is like, I don't know if I want to say more urgent, but like I have a particular view on it, which is that if the tools don't exist for doing these things in a trust minimized, permissionless, censorship resistant way, people will still do them, but they will be trust maximized. They will be censorship ridden, and they will be heavily permissioned. And people will use that in order to gain a stranglehold over an ecosystem to make money. And that is like basically counter to what we need. My viewpoint here is that during periods of decentralization, you see massive innovation. During periods of massive centralization, you see a lot of profit taking for the entities that are able to manage that centralization. And it would be a shame if crypto, if Web3 got to the place we're at now and we ossified into centralized profit seeking instead of innovation, because the majority of the interesting innovation in the space has not happened yet. There are very few applications that speak across these blockchain ecosystems. There's very few users. The structures that people are using and the way that people are conceptualizing applications is still relatively basic. And so, like, in order to continue this to be a dynamic and innovative ecosystem, this needs to be a thing that gets created and, like, actually has the values that we're going for embedded in it.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's it. I just want to kind of double click on that, Paul. I think that was like a really interesting point. So are you kind of saying that, you know, we should be worried about the potential Lindy effects that could gather with permissioned types of setups because it, and that's kind of thing, if that's the only thing that's available at this time, then that is, that's what's going to gain adoption and traction. And the only way to counteract that is to build these more trust minimized setups so that they have at least the ability or potential to gain those Lindy effects and be adopted as a standard. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Right. And there's just like the pure opportunity cost of it, which is like, if I am a builder and I want to make an application and I need to talk to 16 bridge teams and do a integration with Axelar, and I need to make a token in order to like pay for the thing, and I need to take all of these steps, like the difficulty is so high that we're just going to get extremely small amounts of innovation. People are going to find one path that works. They're going to clone it. They're going to try to jam their use case into that method. And you're ultimately going to end up with like, it becomes very difficult for, you know, two guys in their garage to make an interesting application, which is where all the growth of Ethereum came from. It was, a couple of people saying, let's see if we can make a thing. Like, this is the story of CryptoKitties, right? Biggest first Ethereum app. Why? Because Dapper Labs said, let's make a thing on a hackathon, and they did it, right? And so that's what we want to do. And in order to get there, we need to make sure that there's not like a stranglehold on the ability to build in this way.
Yeah, I think that kind of touches on just a general theme for industry in general. And that's that like centralization is easy. Right. There's a lot of risks that come with it, obviously. But the centralizing or creating trust minimized protocols or standards, like that's the hard part. That's where you have to get creative. That's why it takes a lot of time to build this out appropriately and in a secure way. And that's what we're here building. You know, we've got.
Right. For sure. Like, I'm going to say this very clearly. If we're going to build super centralized systems, let's use Postgres. Like, there's literally no reason to build blockchains if you're doing it in that way, because all we've done is created the worst of both worlds. We've created an extremely expensive, incredibly difficult to interact with system that is difficult to run and has no benefits. So we do not want to go down that path.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I don't know, Nick, I would love to get your thoughts on that too. I know you kind of started off this whole trust minimization conversation, and but I just want to, if you wanted to make any touching points, long-term philosophical arguments or thoughts about trust minimized versus centralized, and like what we're trying to build here with the Union IBC ag layer architecture.
I mean, I don't have too much to add other than I just agree with what Carl said about being permissionless. Like, it's all about like permissionless innovation is just key, not only to just like the ethos of crypto, that like there shouldn't be gatekeepers, right, or middlemen or things like that, but also because it just rapidly accelerates the rate of innovation when you don't have to talk to someone else or coordinate with someone else to launch something. And if it's just a public, you know, API or interface that you plug into, you know, all of a sudden everything just becomes so much simpler and faster to build on top of. And I think that's one of the things that's going to be so revolutionary about Web3 generally, is like opening up all these systems to that kind of innovation where anyone can build on top of them without, you know, asking for permission. In terms of the trust minimization thing, the only thing that I would add is that, you know, currently we have a lot of training wheels and we have a lot of, you know, systems that are, you know, aren't fully decentralized, and they're working okay at the current scales. And I think some people extrapolate that to saying like, oh, well, it's going to be fine, you know, in the future to just have like multi-sigs or committees, you know, in these systems. And I think that there will always be, you know, it's not black or white, but I feel quite strongly that, you know, in the future when we have massive amounts of money and just value, you know, on Web3 being coordinated, we're going to need things that are trust minimized, because they're like, we need that level of security, because there's just going to be so much at risk that we can't, you know, just sort of rely on things that aren't like fully secure and robust. And so I think, I don't know, a lot of people just say like, well, it's working fine now. Why do we need to change in the future? And I think part of the answer is because we're so early and the scale of crypto right now is minuscule compared to where we want to go. And to me, you know, to get to that end destination, we're going to need to build these systems that are more robust and trust minimized, just as a necessity. Or we'll learn, you know, in the unfortunate way of like, oh, well, it's kind of like, you know, that saying, like, experience is what you wish you knew, like, before something bad happened. I can't remember the actual quote, but something like that, where it's like, we're going to regret it afterwards. We'll have to learn our lesson the hard way, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to kind of pivot a little bit back to Carol on the union side. And I want to talk about the end users. You know, when we're talking about people who are leveraging union for this, you know, cross-chain messaging and interoperability, what benefits do you foresee for the end user and their experience directly from this type of integration? And then we'll kick it over to Zuki and kind of get his take on like the DAP layer side of things.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so the way at least that I see it is the like most optimal, like the utopian experience we could provide end users is actually the same experience they have when Solana is not congested, right? Like that should be the horizon for us to work towards, really, like end users feel like all of crypto might be just one chain. Well, at the same time, like maintaining that sovereignty for the devs, right? Like really ensure that we give the best experience to both sides of the group here. More concretely, like what we're going to see with this integration, how it's like going to evolve over time, is initially like this integration and IBC in general will have better bridge UIs, more explorers, integrations with these other ecosystems to track all of it. But what I personally really want to see in the future is that protocols like Union kind of take a back seat. I don't want a user to have to open three tabs, an explorer tab, or technically two explorer tabs, right? For the two chains they're operating with, a bridge UI, and then the actual protocol that they want to deal with, and have two wallets in their extension list. I want them to just be able to go to a DEX, go to the provide liquidity button, perhaps see a drop down, perhaps see some sort of way for all of their assets across all of ecosystems, and decide to pick USDC somewhere, have the system under the hood, figure out where it's coming from. And to be honest, like I think we're like really near there with ZK Tech and such. Like actually see the transaction get finalized a couple of seconds later, including the whole bridge operation, including all of this infrastructure running behind the scene. Basically the same experience as interacting with a single chain. You send out a transaction and a couple of seconds later, you know it's in and you know the operation is done. Like that is really what we're striving for here and what we want to achieve. Then on the other side for the devs, pick whatever stack you want to use. Basically in a day, be able to set up your chain, integrate your DA layer, perhaps integrate different sequencing mechanisms. And to be honest, like even if you're like running a chain just on your laptop, right? Like not even like a fully decentralized chain, but just a little test net that you throw away an hour later. I want devs to be able to connect that test net to mainnet networks, right? Open an IBC channel and actually like receive funds for their ephemeral testnet as if they're like running in production. Because to be honest, from like a tech perspective, there's nothing really that should prevent this from occurring in a fully permissionless world, right? It's the same as just creating a new wallet and receiving funds on that. And really like when we manage to achieve that, that's the big unlock Nick is talking about, where really like there are no barriers anymore for what you want to build. And that's to be honest, also the big unlock for doing like kind of hybrid DeFi, like moving a lot of the traditional financial system on crypto rails. Because with these types of systems, you could have a bank be basically backed by a private, permissioned, but verifiable chain and just connect that directly to Ethereum or the Egg layer or IBC and have certain assets be available, certain protocols be broadcasted and just fully interop with everything else.
Yeah, and I think that's Thank you for your answer, because that's something that I've been thinking about a lot is, you know, when we do, you know, the future is multi-chain. I think everyone can agree there. And, you know, what does it look like for the end user? Like, do I just have one wallet? And is it open source and have that same resilience? And I think maybe I just overthink it too much, but I think like that's, you know, that's the ultimate goal.
Is there something wrong with Crypto Texans audio?
Oh, can y'all hear me?
I can hear you. So
I can hear
you. Not sure.
Oh, I think it's on your side, Nick.
I can't hear him.
It's on your side, Nick. Sorry. But Zucky, I'll kick it over to you, because I think Carol kind of touched on that a little bit. But like on from the dApp layer, like how do you see this type of integration from like a developer standpoint?
So, you know, I think like the 80-20 right now across chain is like bridging and swapping, right? Or like being able to obtain a token you want to hold and maybe do something with it on another chain. And I think like we have this great, I think so IBC.fund from the Skip team is this like sort of amazing example of what, you know, multiple years of Cosmos development have enabled, where you have this really fantastic experience across Solana, Ethereum, EVML2s, Cosmos chains, where, you know, if you want exposure, if, you know, you want some tokens and if you like, you know, want to buy stars to use a sloth, if you want to buy SOM and stake it, if you want to buy Osmo and or buy a lab and mint an NFT or, you know, move USDC between the Ethereum ecosystem, the Solana ecosystem, the Cosmos ecosystem. There's like one sort of unified experience, but one unified experience is actually powered by smart contracts and features and applications that are on every chain, or like on a huge, like wide abundance of chains, and there are multiple protocols involved. And I think what we're seeing, you know, the ag layer poses offers a way of like really expanding this kind of application layer experience, that's sort of a key piece here. That like what we can do is we can build these user experiences where users really are able to get where they want to go, do the thing that they want without having to like manually use a bunch of different systems and layers and reason about them and be able to think about them and instead just get this user experience of there's a new chain or there's a chain that already exists. There's something happening on it. I feel excited about it. I want to go use it. You know, you're one or two clicks away from having that happen. And I think in that world, it is less like, you know, the advantages of this modular ecosystem suddenly become really apparent because of the fact that like you can build, like if it's easy and one click to access a new experience, then why not give people the absolute largest variety of tools to build those experiences? And I think that's sort of the key to why all of this makes sense.
Yeah, I think those are some really great points, and I really appreciate your perspective on this, Zucky. So we are starting to run up on time a little bit, and I like to keep things nice and tight with all of our schedules. So I'm just going to kick it around one more time and just say, you know, if there's anything that maybe we haven't had a chance to touch on that y'all want to make sure that we address during, you know, this this panel discussion, I'll start with Carol first, and then kick it over to PG first. But Carol, just is there anything that you want to just make sure that you address to our audience before we sign off?
Yeah, I think like when the audience looks at this partnership, they see Polygon, Cosmos, Union, but might not realize that this is much bigger, right? The egg layer, IBC, etc. They're not just confined to these spaces specifically. We're going to see on Solana, on Movement, L2s, Aptos, Sui, etc. Like basically any ecosystem that is verifiable is going to be able to integrate with this and be connected like that. So I really think like this is kind of the start of really the next generation of interoperability protocols, leaving behind those legacy multi-sig based systems where we have all of these kind of problematic permissions, backdoors, and go towards this like one future where everything in the end is light client based, optimized with CKPs, and just accessible with any SDK, any smart contract environment, anything a dev wants to use.
Thank you for that. And Paul, any final words on the Polygon Lab side of things?
For sure. So the thing I want to make sure people understand is that while Polygon Labs is the maybe like the instigator of this egg layer conversation in this particular way, and currently we're writing specifications and writing a lot of code for the core kind of protocols that will establish this as the protocol that we're hoping it will be. The project itself is not one that I view as being like sort of owned by Polygon in the same way as maybe like the POS network was, where like that was a Polygon project and all of the innovation there is something that we're trying to like manage. In this case, it's more that we're trying to really build this thing out as a component that we're getting a lot of collaboration on. So getting Celestia, getting Union here working on this and bringing in some of those like strong open source components from the Cosmos world, et cetera, is like what I'm looking for. And I'm hoping that the system that we're building feels like a true community owned, community put together piece of technology, because that's the only way in which it will succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's important too. Like, you know, we want it to be more of like a public good. Anyone can connect to the ag layer. You don't have to be EVM, you can be SVM. And there's a lot of very exciting things down the road on the product pipeline, but I'm not the person to make those types of bold statements. That's Paul's realm. So
I'll just say,
yeah, to Zaki, yeah, I would kick it over to you. Any final words for you?
That like, so IBC is very unique as like the tokenless, permissionless interop protocol, right? Like it is the protocol that you just have to implement software. Unfortunately, that software can be a bit of a pain in the ass to implement. But you just have to implement software and you get interoperability with a network that gives you, you know, USDC, stablecoins, centralized exchanges, on-ramps, off-ramps, liquid assets, all of these things, right? And I think the ag layer is probably the most synergistic vision of this for the next generation of protocols because, you know, if IBC sort of built itself around sovereign chains and light clients, I think, like blockchains that are interoperable through the fact that their state machines are verifiable are the next generation. And so there is, I think, this like natural synergy between like the IBC community and the ag layer community. And I like really happy that like Union is sort of creating the necessary plumbing in order for those communities to start interoperating, because there's like an interoperability of ethos as well.
Amazing. Thanks for that. And Nick, if you can hear me, we'll kick it back over to you. Final words for the audience.
Now I'm able to hear you, which is great. I thought I was like, oh, it's really quiet in here. Anyway, this has been a great space. From Celestia's perspective, you know, we have always sort of stood on the shoulders of giants. And I think, you know, one of the communities that we have like, you know, drawn the most from inspiration from and sort of like leaned on for technology and everything like that is Cosmos, right? And all the work that Zaki and Ethan and Jay and so many Cosmos builders and pioneers and visionaries, laid the groundwork for and actually built the software for it. And so I think it makes a ton of sense to leverage that work in this new sort of paradigm. And I think the other aspect of this is we say modularism, not maximalism. And what that means is it's about, you know, modular blockchains are about collaboration between different protocols and teams who share a common vision. And, you know, I love that about the way that Polygon is approaching the ag layer. Is it's, you know, it is about unifying lots of different teams and protocols into one unified thing. And it's going to just be, you know, it's going to take a village. It's going to take, you know, lots of different teams all coming together. And so, but we're stronger together, and we can actually build faster and further, you know, as a unified, broader, modular ecosystem.
That's amazing. And I love what you said there, modularism, not maximalism. And as soon as you said that, I tweeted it. So I'll give you credit in my comment to that tweet as well. I just want to say thanks to everyone on the panel, our esteemed guests from Union Labs, Polygon, Celestia, and Sommelier. Thanks to everyone listening live, or if you're listening to recording, thanks for listening to the recording as well. This has been a great panel discussion, and catch us next time on Polygon Alpha, and we will see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Spaces.